What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Make sure you check out this new episode with God Sham God, one of the point guys out of New York. One of my brothers, we came up together. This is an episode you don't want to miss. Wasn't able to be there for this episode, but Matt and Jelani made sure they took care of everything they need to take care of and made it a great episode for you to enjoy. Also, this is the last episode of What's Burning. I appreciate y'all supporting, y'all rocking with us. Tune in next season.
Welcome back to a special episode of All the Smoke with the legendary, the one and only, God Sham God. Welcome to the show, bro.
Oh, man. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure being on the show. You know, I watch y'all all the time. You know, y'all kick that rail, so it's definitely a pleasure.
Man, we appreciate having you. So what's going on right now? How's life treating you? You guys just came on off a nice run last season. How has the offseason been treating you so far?
Man, it's been good. You know, we've just been doing draft workouts. We had a free agency camp, and, you know, we just drafted an exciting player, you know, Jaden Hardy. So, you know, just talking to him and his pops, you know, chopping it up with his team and just getting to know him and getting ready for summer league. That's what we're doing right now.
This may be a above your pay grade, but I'm going to ask anyway. Y'all going to be able to keep Jalen Brunson? He had a big year last year. He's hit the market. And that money is going up. Obviously, you know how important he is to your guys' team. Can you give us any insight on, you know, possibilities of him possibly staying with you guys?
Man, the only thing I could say is I hope he stays with us. You know what I'm saying? He's homegrown. You know, JB is an amazing player. With us, with anybody, he would be an amazing player. He's, you know, he worked his tail off, you know, so nothing wasn't given to him. You know, as everybody know, you know, he was drafted in the second round after being college, you know, Big East Player of the Year. So, you know, you could tell the talent speaks for itself. And, you know, he worked his tail off. And, you know, he was very important for us. And, you know, hopefully he still be that, you know, in the future.
You've been player development in Dallas for the last 6 years. Tell us how that position came about for you.
Well, it came about, I was at Providence College and I was working out for people that know Bryce Cotton and Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn was the number 5th pick in the draft, the Big East Player of the Year. And you know, a lot of people just start seeing and hearing about me working other players out, you know, whether it was doing stuff with Ben Gordon, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., whether it was being like kind of a co-mentor for like Trae Young, you know, talking to his parents and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of people used to just reach out to me like all over this, like all over the world just because of dribbling. And so I went back to Providence to get my degree, to finish my degree. Everybody know I left school early. And, you know, it just took on life its own. Then I met Mike Procopio. Shout out to Mike Procopio. You know, he was player development at Dallas, you know, before I got there. And him and Michael Finley brought me in and kind of vouched for me. And I already knew Mark from working out for Dallas like years ago. And, you know, they brought me in for a workout. The first day came to Providence to watch me work out, Ricky Lito. Ricky Lito had sat out, you know, his freshman year at Providence, but he still got drafted. And, you know, everybody kept saying, man, you should be player development for the NBA, because, you know, you do some of the guys like Victor Oladipo, different people. You know, once I came, you know, my first year, you know, we drafted Dan Smith Jr. You know, I was working with HB a lot, Harrison Barnes, Wesley Matthews, Steph Curry, and everybody saw their development. And then, you know, after that, it just was kind of like solidified. It was more than, you know, because I think when people first thought about it, they thought I was just there to teach people how to dribble. Yeah. You know, they don't understand, you know, it is dribbling, but it's not really a such thing as a dribbling coach. Because, you know, even if you teach dribble, you got to teach how to make layups. You got to teach how to come out of it. So in actuality, you're doing the whole player development. It ain't just guards. Right. And then when people start seeing, like, I could teach big men and stuff like that, and it goes back from years when, you know, when I used to work with Kobe and different players and Chris Webber, Kevin Garnett. You know, Jelani, you know, he was in the McDonald's or American game with me, and he know how many, like, whether it was him, whether it was KG, was all the bigs asking me to show them how to dribble. Well, you know, so it ain't just me. It ain't just me, like, showing point guards how to dribble. And that's what people don't understand because, you know, it ain't just about dribbling, you know. It's not about just doing a whole bunch of fancy moves and things like that. It's about teaching people to get to the spaces they want to get and playing, you know, comfortable and uncomfortable situations. Mm.
Quick question. Someone who was so obviously highly decorated in high school and college, you know, you had a quick stint in the league, played overseas for a little while. When did it hit you that, like you just said, you kind of, it was natural. You've always kind of been a teacher, even while you were a player. When did you kind of just really buy into, okay, I love basketball to death. Obviously on the court is not necessarily where I wanted it to be, but I see I can make a whole new living teaching people, and I've been teaching people my whole life. So when did you kind of buy into that mindset that, okay, as much as I love the game and want to play, me teaching the game is what's going to take me to that next level?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, like you said, obvious, you know, you wish you, you know, you'd be, you know, Hall of Fame, playing NBA for a whole bunch of years and things like that. I would say I had just got MVP in China, and then, like, I had got my knee scoped, so I went back to Providence to rehab. Mashawn Brooks was there. This was like Mashawn Brooks, like sophomore year. And I was rehabbing, and they was asking me, like, you know, can you talk to him? They was like, yo, he's a good player. You know, he's on the verge of something, but, you know, he's, you know, got a lot of stuff going on. And they was like, can you help him? And I was like, yeah, I'm up here working out. We can work out. And actually, right after that, I went back to China, and he had a great season. And everybody was talking about, like, how much I helped him. And then he was saying how much I helped him. And then, like you said, I was getting older, and I was like, man, I had two years left of my contract in China. And I was like, do I want to stay over here and play? And then the AD at the time, me and him went to school together. And he was like, man, you should come back and be assistant coach at Providence. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really don't know. But then at the time, I was like, well, this would be a perfect opportunity for me to get in coaching, because if I keep playing two more years, I don't know who would be the coach here. And then Ed Cooley really embraced me to come to Providence to be a coach. So I was like, man, I got to take this opportunity now, because I don't know, 2 years later, I might not have this opportunity to walk into this. So like you said, I was thinking about long term, and I was like, man, I might as well do this now. And then what also helped, I remember right before the Lakers played Boston, and they did an interview with Kobe, and Kobe was like, yeah, you know, because I have never said nothing about it at that point. And Kobe was like, yeah, you know, Shamwell taught me how to dribble and stuff like that. So of course, when Kobe says something, you know, the whole world listening to everybody start hitting me up like, yo, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? And I was like, all right, cool. And then after that, like you said, I came to grips with it more than I think other people did. Because other people was like, man, you should still try to play. And I was like, nah, man, you know, once I came to grips with it in my mind, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Well, once they name a move after you, you know,
right?
You come up with that transition a little easier, and the people you were able to get to and teach, you know, those parts of the game that come natural to you. I think that's why you were able to have a easier transition. Shout out to the CBA too. I played in China for a couple of years.
Yes, sir. I know
how you can get your game off over there. You know, what I mean? Shout out to CBA. Sham, you're one of the main characters coming out in Showtime's in a documentary that will be premiering on Showtime on July 29th, Point Gods. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about Point Gods, you know what I mean, and the project, and you know, and how was that for you going through the whole process?
Man, for me, it was like I said, you know, shout out to KD, Rich Kleiman, and Boardroom for even having me on there, want me on there. Because I'm on there with great players that I looked up to, of course, being from New York. You know, it's Ron Strickland, Mark Jackson, you know, Kenny Smith, you know, Pearl Washington, rest in peace. You know, even my peers that's around my age, you know, Skip Tomalu, Rafe Austin, you know, Stephon Marbury, just people like that. For me, it was amazing because, like I said, for me to be lumped in a group of guys like that that's done amazing things, like, in New York City and across the world, like I said, for me, it's amazing because, like, me coming up, you know, class of 95, you know, me and Steph was both point guards coming from New York. And all we wanted to be was, like, a person like Kenny Anderson, you know, saying, Pearl Washington. At that point, Kenny Anderson was, like, the best thing walking, you know, his legal weapon three, and for him to be from New York City.
I mean, he had big dudes wanting to be Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, he did the move against Bob Gurley, the NCAA tournament. That was amazing. And, you know, that's all we wanted to do at the time. So when Rich and them asked me, you know, of course, you know, it was an honor for me to do it just to, you know, to know my impact on ball players, you know, growing up dribbling and people from New York City. I think it's just a great documentary. Every state has something. And, you know, and New York City is known for point guards, you know, so I think this is going to be a good thing for not just the local people, but just for the world to see.
Does it ever resonate with you? Because I think sometimes as individuals, we're always moving on to what's next and mm-hmm. always on that, you know, eternal grind. But the fact that you never really had a long, successful NBA career, but still your name is mentioned with greats and, you know, you're still remembered as one of the ones. But yeah. I mean, does it ever register to how motherfucking dope you really are, even though you didn't decide? I mean, the NBA takes a lot of luck. It takes a lot of luck to happen. It's not always skill.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's luck. But for you to not necessarily make it in the league, but to still kind of, I mean, you got your own fucking shoe deal. You know what I mean? Like, for you to still do and accomplish all these things without the long NBA career, but still be talked about in these circles and be a part of projects like this, do you ever just sit back like, yeah, I was a cold motherfucker, even though the other shit didn't pan out. I was, you know, I definitely did my thing. I just want to make sure you know how nice you are and how important you are. And like you said, the impact you had on the game without mm-hmm. necessarily having that long NBA mm-hmm. career.
Like you just said, like, I don't never realize it because the difference, you know, and it's not like, you know, and I don't get into old school, new school, but the difference is like, I grew up around a lot of real dudes, you know what I'm saying? You know, just like, you know, I done cross paths with a lot of real dudes, like whether it's you, Matt Barnes, whether, you know, me and Stack Jack been places together, you know, Jelani McCoy, I'm talking about young age, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So like, you know, growing up in the era of the Kobe's and the people told you the truth and stuff like that. So everything for me, it is amazing because, you know, everything for me happened organic. You know, we live in a culture now where people try to create stuff instead of letting things be organic. And mm-hmm. one thing you know about organic love never fades.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? When there's love, when there's stuff that just happens and people know you're not trying to do this, trying to do that, that's the real stuff. So organic love stays. And for me, you know, it's amazing for me because most people see their inspiration like when they die. You know what I'm saying? I get to live in my inspiration every day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then being a part of the NBA now, when people do moves and certain stuff like that, I'm sitting right there and they're like, oh yeah, you know Shamwell's right there on Dallas Mavericks bench and stuff like that. So I get to see my inspiration every day and my impact. And like you said, it's not about, you know, if I played 30 years, 40 years, it's just about, it's about the respect and the people and the love that people show me. And it's funny because, you know, I mean, one year me and Chauncey was in Vegas and me and him was laughing because it was like a group of kids like walking down the street and they walked past both of us and we just sitting there talking. And then the kid come back and he's like, oh, you know, we sitting there, I'm like, oh, okay, he about to ask Chauncey something, whatever. He come back and he's like, hey, aren't you Shamgar or whatever? And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, yeah. So we just start talking. He's like, and then he asked Charles. He's like, hey, can you take a picture like this? And I'm like, yeah, this is Charles. And me and Charles, we walk off and we laugh.
That's funny.
We laughing, but me and Charles got 15 years of friendship. So we laughing. Mm-hmm. Charles like, yo, that's crazy. Like, I'm Hall of Fame. This is that. And these kids, they recognize you. And he was like, and Charles has always been like a person I could call, talk to, you know, things, talk things out. Like, even when I was getting back into the NBA. And he the main one, you know, kind of like you said, he's like, man, you don't know how big it is. Like, bro, you got a shoe, you got this. He was like, yo, that's so crazy. He's like, I know you probably don't realize it now. He's like, but that's so crazy.
Absolutely.
Chauncey always been like that since 95, since the first time I'm on the McDonald's, like, All-American game, if you see him on the cricket, like, you can pull up. He's never had a big ego. He's only cared about basketball. And if you go left, he can get your ass back right, or at least somewhere. Close to the middle. So I'm glad you had, I'm glad to know that that class of 95 still kept that hall. I feel like, you know, there's a group of us throughout the years, we catch up with each other and we remind each other that we was a cold ass McDonald's High School All-American class. But
yeah, because like, it's crazy. Like, I try to tell people, I'm like, from the time we was in the McDonald's American, going to the mall, getting our ears pierced and all that other stuff, I'm like, yo, I'm like the 95 class was kind of, like, it was like so close. Like, even to this day, I'm like, it was like a brotherhood. Like, to this day, like, when I see Kev, when I see everybody, it's like, it was just like yesterday. And I don't think you have that as much as no more like you had back then, where it was like such a brotherhood where dudes could really tell each other the truth and it don't be like a big thing about it. It's just like, okay, cool, move on, let's figure it out.
Because it's genuine love. Real quick, so your title is player development, correct?
No, this year I got promoted, so it's assistant coach player development.
Congratulations.
Under Jay Kidd and them. So, you know, it's,
congratulations.
It's dope. Yeah, nah, I appreciate it. You know,
I say all that to say, you have your own shoe with Puma. Talk to us about that situation, how that came about.
So a couple of years ago, I mean, for people that know, you know, Jay-Z got a best friend that's named Emery Jones. Mm-hmm. And Emery's like, you know, he's like the culture person, like, that the brands go to. And he had called me one day, and he was like, hey, are you signed to anybody right now? And I was like, nah. He was like, Puma's trying to come back to the culture. And he was like, they want you to give them some advice on, like, what parks to go to, like, what kids to look at, stuff like that. You know, would you mind talking to him about possibly being a consultant? So I was like, cool. I was like, yeah, because I know they was trying to do a big splash in New York City at this summer. And I was like, cool. I was like, I could tell you where to go, what parts. So then I get on the phone and we're talking about what they're looking for in the athlete, like, to try to, you know, bring it back to where it was before. And after we got off the phone, you know, like a week later, OG Juan and Jay-Z and then called me and they was like, man, you must have had a good conversation. It was like, because, you know, they was like, yo, won't they just use you? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it was like, you're a part of the culture. You know, all the kids look up to you for dribbling and stuff like this. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense. And then we were talking about, because I was like, I don't want to do it unless I can't do stuff for my community. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure I do a whole bunch of stuff for the community. And then the craziest thing that happened, you know, like you were saying earlier, Matt, like, organically, for some reason, like, as soon as I signed with them, that summer going into the season, everybody was doing the move. So then it was like, it just was like, bam.
Perfect
bam,
timing.
Bam. It's like I said, organically came. And then that's when Russ did it. When Russ finally did it, And then they interviewed Russ, and Russ was like, oh yeah, that's the move. You know, they called the kids called the Sham Guard or whatever, whatever. And it was like, it just was happening like every other week. And, you know, to your point earlier, if I stayed playing basketball, that's what people say. If I don't follow my path and trust in what God got for me, if I stayed and tried to force the issue playing, yeah, it still would have been the Sham Guard move, but it would have been totally different if I'm in China or I'm somewhere else.
Right.
Then sitting on the NBA bench is a direct connect. So it would have been like, oh, yeah, that's some guy that used to play in the NBA. Cool. But now kids, because even then, when people were saying the Sham Guard, kids was like, oh, that's a move. I remember I used to parents to introduce me. They'd be like, that's not Sham Guard. Sham Guard is a move. That's not. They're like, no, he's a person.
It's a person. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like, so they're like, no way. So now, you know, if I wasn't sitting on the NBA bench and I'd have been forcing and trying to be like, oh, I'm just play just to be playing and make a couple dollars, do this, and not follow what God had for me from the beginning. Because like you said, when I look back on it, I'm like, man, you know, even though, you know, McDonald's on American, College on American, stuff like that, I'm like, it seemed like from day one, God was putting me here to teach, from me being 17 and teaching Kobe how to dribble at 16 and then keep going. And all along the whole path, whether it's, like I said, McDonald's or American, with Jelani and KG, and I'm like, yo, can you show me this move? So when I got drafted to the Wizard, I used to stay at the practice, show Chris Webber moves and stuff like that. So we used to play against the Lakers and Shaq, like, oh, man, I know you got the moves, you know, I'm going to show me some of the moves. So it was like, of course, my whole path. Yeah, right. Of course, my whole path. Everybody was always asking me, yo, can you show me this? Can you show me that? And then, like, when I finally embraced it, like you said, it just opened up the floodgates. And like you said, this career will last way longer than my playing career.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky, they're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Well, you just told us all the people that kind of recognized the game, but how did the move itself come about? Break this down for us.
So what happened is, Kansas used to do this move where he would go one side and skip his legs and go between the legs. So as I was growing up, Rafe used to always do, you know, they used to call him Skip to my Lou, he used to always skip up the court. So we used to always do, you know, watch that skip move, stuff like that. And then there was a guy named Sherman Anderson that people would never probably know, ever. But in New York City, everybody know him, because at one point they thought him and his name is Sherman Anderson. At one point they thought him and Kenny Anderson was brothers because of the way he dribbled. Mm-hmm. And he had this one-hand crossover. He used to always come up the court. Like, if somebody pressed him, he'd come up the court, full court, full court. And then when he gets to the foul line, he'd double cross and lay it up. So he's one of the first people, when I first moved from Brooklyn to Harlem, I saw a play. And I was like, man, I got to learn how to do one-hand dribble, stuff like that. So then in the McDonald's, in college, the first time I ever tried was like against Jeff Gillette. I was trying to do the move Ken Anderson did, like, to skip to my legs, go between my legs, and go the opposite direction. What happened was, when I went to skip and threw the ball, I lost the ball. The guy reached for the ball, so the only thing I could do was pull back at the time. Mm. So at this time, I used to always watch, you know, like me learning how to dribble, I didn't have no big brothers. I didn't have none of that. So I used to always watch videotapes in slow motion. So I used to have this cassette tape called Below the Rim. For people that know, it was like Tim Hardaway, Kevin Johnson, Pistol Pete, Tiny Archibald, you know. And Tiny Archibald was my coach in eighth grade. And he was always like, man, if you work on your handle, you always going to mean something to a team. And I just got possessed after that to the point where I used to be in the park trying to shake my shadow and all these other crazy. I was looking like Nutso from above the rim, like stuff like that, you know. And then I put ankle weights on my wrist to dribble and stuff. So to get back to the point. So when I threw it and I pulled it back, later on, I would just always watch film. So I'm watching the film in slow motion because I used to always watch. So I could learn people cadence. I could learn people the way how footwork work. Stuff like that. So when I watched, I'm like, man, this could work. I'm like, this could work. So the next day in practice, I got my guy, Corey Wright, that went to Providence with me. And we stayed in the gym for like 10 hours, just keep going over it, keep going over it, keep going over it, keep going over it. And then once we got in the NCAA tournament, you know, it just took on a life of its own playing against Arizona. And it was so funny because I remember Michael Dickerson, once that happened, we stand at the free throw line. Michael Dickerson said, like, man, what you just do? And, you know, at that point, you know, you're in competitive mode. I'm like, what? Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. None of y'all can't guard me. And I'm just like, yeah. And like I said, still up to that point, I don't know nothing. I just did a move.
Squeers.
Yeah. And like I said, organic, I don't know nothing. So organic. I go home.
Right.
I go home and I'm like, yeah, I'm coming out. So I'm walking past the parks. You know, going to my old neighborhood, and I hear a little kid like, oh, I'm going to sham you. I'm going to sham you. Like, he's talking to another little kid. And I'm like, what? I'm just sitting there watching him play. And then I'm trying to steal the ball from the little kid. And the little kid like, oh, I'm a sham guard you. I'm a sham guard you. And I was like, what? And then after that, that's when I knew it was a thing. But I'm, you know, like you said, I'm thinking like, okay, that'll fade to what it is. So I got to give a big shout out to my father for naming me God, Sham God, because that plays a part of it too. So it's absolutely. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because like I always tell people, my name was Frank or something. I don't know if you'd be like, hey, I'm doing the Frank. So I don't know. So, you know.
Yeah, that's dope.
It might not have worked if it was a Frank. But you all on the all name team with science. Remember Scientific Matt topic?
Yes, right? Yeah. Scientific Matt, like him and my father, you know, he a 5%. So him and shout out to all the 5%. You know, him and my father, him and his father, and my father's type.
But before we get onto the next, just give me a book. What was the 80s and 90s like in Brooklyn in the basketball scene? Scientific Matt, Typographic Matt, 5%ers, hood dudes, in between you and Stefan, you know what I mean? There's just so many people in the 80s, 90s that have, like you said, if you mention a name, you might not know who he was, but he was detrimental into the development of the area and either point guards, New York City basketball is. So real quick, just give me a couple words on what 80s and 90s basketball looked like in Brooklyn.
It was like, for us out here in New York, you know, whether it's Brooklyn, whether it's Harlem, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, it was, you know, we're like rock stars. We was like how rappers are now. That's what we was as basketball players at a young age. And that's why it was kind of hard for kids to kind of make it out of New York City, because they were in the NBA before being in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, even if you go back to Pearl Washington, rest in peace. Pearl was in high school and used to come to the game with a motorbike and a gold Pac-Man chain that a coach bought him, because they used to always say he eat up all his opponents. So he used to come in and they used to call him Pac-Man. And he had come to like this place called King Towers, and it'd be like 3,000 people there. You know what I'm saying? Like when me and Steph was coming up, you know, Kenny Anderson, especially when me and Steph came up, because that's like 90s was like the real era of like hip hop and fashion, everything in New York. And at this point, you know, you got to think me and Steph is like 15, 16. We hanging out with Puff Daddy, you know, Fat Joe, you know, Jay-Z, you know, all these people are legends they own. You know, you got to think for me, and it was real crazy for me because the era I came in, like, you got to think, when I moved from Brooklyn to Harlem, I moved in the middle of Harlem, right across the street at 15. Cameron lived across the street. Mace lived up the street. Big L lived down the street. God Bless the Dead, Ali Mo, Black Widow live across the street. So we all hanging out together every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, every day. You know, before Mace and Cam start rapping, we hanging out every day. Then, you know, Jim Jones, you know, we all in the same neighborhood. Then we playing for a team called Young Life, where it's me, Steph, Ray, you know, the same team, Kareem Reed.
That's not enough balls to go around.
That's what I'm saying. I play with Gauchos. You got me, Steph, Felipe Lopez, and stuff like that. So, like, that era was so enriched in culture. You know what I'm saying? It was so enriching culture. Then when you go away and play tournaments, you meet a guy named Bubba Chuck that people, you know, at this point, we like, oh, who's this dude? He played football and basketball. You know what I'm saying? And all that other stuff. Yeah, so it was like, it was just so enriched in basketball to the point where, like, I think everybody that was on the 1995 McDonald's All-American team, where they was from, was like rock stars, you know, already. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we was living like the rock star life. So even when you look at the NBA, the people from the 90s, once they transitioned to the NBA, that's when it took off, like the whole fashion thing, the whole jewelry thing, the whole cars and stuff like that. Because most of the ball players felt they was rappers. You know what I'm saying? At the time, like they was living, like embracing that lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said it was so amazing for me to grow up in that era. And I think for me, that would always be the best era. Not saying the era that's now, but back then it was just so, all the people there that I was around kind of shaped the culture. You know what I'm saying? From Jay-Z, from Puff, from Steph, from different players, from AI.
The 90s is a whole across the board.
Yeah,
I think the 90s across the board, sports, culture, fashion.
Yeah.
You name it, music. It was definitely legendary.
And that's why I said, like, I was the crazy part, because I was like a direct in the midst of it. You right know what I'm saying? Because like, even if you look at street ball, Rafe took street ball to a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying? And this is a person I'm with all the time too. So it's like, I'm in the middle of, you know, and at this point, Mace is like, almost like Drake in the street. Mace is like number one young boy rapping all over. And he's coming with me to all my games, and I'm making him rap for people at the game before he get on. And I'm like, yo, my man is nice. He can rap. They're like, man, we don't want to hear that slow stuff. A year later, now he's number one person on the charts. Mm-hmm. Like, going to, you know, Cam always was nice. So, you know, just to have, you know, Cam, Fat Joe and them on the documentary is great, because they seen most of us, especially me and Steph and Rafe, like, since we was like 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. Again, Point Gods premiering July 29th on Showtime. Again, shout out KD, Rich Climens in the boardroom.
Yes.
We wind it down right here. You've been blessed to kind of have a front row seat throughout Luka's career. At what point did you know he was different?
The first practice we had, everybody in the gym knew he was different. The first practice, because like, he was throwing passes, he was doing all type of stuff. And then, like, for people that know, like, people know how competitive I am. People know how competitive Dow Armstrong is, the great Dow Armstrong. And we would challenge him every day, and he would want to play us one on one every day. And the words that you're saying right now, I used to always say to him, I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm different," whatever. And when he coming out the games now, that's what he says every day. Like, we a joke, and he'll be like, "Sham, I'm different, you know, you know." But like, you know, L is like one of those people that, you know, how you're like a great artist and somebody give you a canvas that's so amazing, and you like, okay, I can make this canvas into anything you want. L is one of those things. You don't have to give him a lot of stuff. You give him a little thing, and he turned that little thing into a masterpiece. You know, and that's with dribbling, that's with changing angles. And like I said, the sky's the limit for him. You know, like, and, you know, to be on all the smoke, he wants all the smoke. So, you know, he's not backing down from nobody. He wants all of it. And he's just a great player, great competitor. And the one thing that's great about him, he's a great person. Like, he's a good kid. He listens, and, you know, he's going to work his tail off, and, you know, he just want
to
win.
That brings me up to one of my next questions. Everybody's seen that picture of him looking a little bit more in shape than he's accustomed to while playing internationally. You think that's something that he's working on extremely, taking it a little bit more serious now, working on his body so he's able to, you know what I mean, be the best Luka that Luka can be?
Yeah, you know, Luka's one of them players, one of those people that, you know, he hear everything. Like, he hear everything, and he's going to make the adjustment, you know, that he see fit, and he's going to prove people wrong all the time. And for him, I just think, you know, when he did so much that he did the year before, you know, of course you got to relax your body, you know, and stuff like that. Maybe it's too much, maybe not, but like, right now, he's taking everything serious, and he hears everything, and he sees like what such impact he makes on the NBA and on our team, and you know, he just want to get us off to a great start next year. And I think he's going to do everything possible that he can to make sure that happens.
Absolutely. Being someone who gets an opportunity to work with him, what are some of the kind of stuff you guys work on? Is it anything new, or is it kind of fine tuning what he already has?
Nah, it's more fine tuning. Like, Luka came here
with a package.
Yeah, he came here great. You know, he came here good. It's our job to always help to make him great. You know what I'm saying? Because he already came here good. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't make somebody that's good great, then you're doing them a disservice and yourself a disservice. So like, for him, everything's just more fine tuning. You know what I'm saying? Because in his mind, you know how the great players are. In their mind, they have things they want to get done. They have things they want to accomplish and how they want to accomplish. So it's just our room. It's just our, you know, we just have to give him room to insert us into what he wants to do for us, talking about player development, like to get accomplished. You know, he might come and say, yo, I want to work on back downs. I want to work on this. I want to work on, it could be just, yo, you guard him and put in different body types on him just so he could see it and get the right angle. So now when he's in the game, everything is live, and you know he's going through the process in his mind. Because like I said, like Luke is one of those, he's one of those savants, you know what I'm saying? And he got the it factor. You know, there's a lot of great players, but there ain't so many great players that have the it factor. And as everybody see, he got the it factor.
The one thing that you just mentioned that I loved, and I remember Kobe talking about this, like the trainer should never tell you what you need to work on. You need to know yourself what you need to work on. You know what I mean? Exactly. The fact that he knows exactly what he wants to do at his young age, I just, Luka the Great, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch, man.
Yeah. And I think also it's having a guy like Sham God on the staff who understands, you know, he was a maestro with the basketball. He knows what people are reacting to or switching up to or keying on. So it's also about having people on the staff to understand, hey, this dude don't need too much. He sees something we don't. We need to try to get on the same page. So, like you said, it's an even exchange. Like another word you use, organic, as opposed to going in there with a plan. 100 crossovers right to left. Sometimes some people who do basketball development people, they go haywire when you can't it's on their little cheat. You know, they'll trip out a little bit. You know, Sham God has always been, since I've known him from 95, he's been able to adjust on the fly very quickly. Like, I could come up to Sham God at 95, but yo, teach me the Sham God. No, what you need is a basic 1-2, hit him with a cross, and get the fly. No, you don't need that. Let me give you this, and you're going to be straight. To go back, work on this, and you're going to be straight. So, like I said, like I want to take, give you your flowers, and, you know, as a class of 95, and let you know, it's not just savant talent. It's savant talent mixed with people like you, who understand the game, the man, you know what I mean? Why people think, why some people, you know, savantish things. So it doesn't work that way without you. That's why you got, you know, that's why your job title changed.
Congrats.
You know, that,
I appreciate it. Like I said, I appreciate it because it's like, you know, and that's, you know, like Matt knows this because he's, you know, been in the league for so long. And then he knows like Jason Kidd and stuff like that. Like the way Jason mine is, you know, he wants everybody to be better. You know what I'm saying? He wants everybody to continue to grow because he's been such a giver. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, everybody can see the difference, like how he worked with Luka this year. And then you got, you know, a great owner in Mark Cuban. You got, you know, a great GM in Nico that have been around. Nico Harris have been around basketball.
You got a great president. You got a president.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
Vanguard.
So it's like you got all basketball people. So now, you know, everybody gets a, you know, Grain Shake Jeans, Sean Sweeney, you know, we just got Quentin. So it's like, you know, you just watch Peter Patton. So you just watch all these people, and all these people know enough to where, like you said, we know when to fall back and when to push forward, you know, when it comes to every player, because every player is different. Like Matt knows, every player can't be told what to do. Every player can't be, you know, some people that want to be told what to do, and there's some people that just want to be like, okay, hey, this is what I want to work on. And it's like, and you take your ego, because it ain't about a Sham God, it ain't about to take your ego out of it and say, okay, cool, let's just get that done.
Final question before we get out of here. 95 McDonald's All-American team, which I got two members of, or the 96 team, who wins?
Oh, 95.
We may have to carry this conversation on when we have a 96 representative here next time.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
like I tell people all the time, I'm never gonna argue. 95, if it ain't one, it's two. It got to be top two.
Right there.
One A, one B.
Anything B2. Else ain't civilized. This is my criteria for it, right? If you look at now, you know, and then this is not me. This I'm talking about consensus, right? So if you look at now, we got the first high school player that went crazy, KG. Right? That means there's been other high school players, but I'm talking about that started off, that went crazy, KG. We arguably got the best dunker, and we got arguably the best dribbler in one class. Then we got Paul Pierce, we got Jelani, we got Antoine Jameson, We got Sharif Abdul-Rahim that people don't know, Chauncey was hurt.
Chauncey Billups.
You know, so I'm just, we had Wayne Turner that people
Ron
really
Mercer.
Know. Ron Mercer. Like, you know.
Steph Marbury too, right?
Yes. So like, yeah. That. So we got, what I'm saying is we got culture changing people.
Mm.
That the world say, not us. Now, I'm not saying that. Right. I'm saying the world say.
Yeah, so that's what they say.
That's what they say. That's what
a lot of people said. That's what they said. Well, God, man, we appreciate you. Are you going to be a summer league?
Yeah.
So we definitely got to catch up. We'll be out there all week, so we definitely got to pull up and chop it up a little bit and kick it. But for everyone out there, Point Guard premieres on Showtime July 29th. We appreciate your time. Best of luck. Congratulations. We got you. Giving you your flowers. Congratulations on the promotion, man, and continued success, my brother.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me on. Jay, see you later.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Love, bro. You know it. 95.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Rocket Mortgage, official partner of the NFL Draft.